Blog Talk Radio.
From the standpoint of Israel and from the standpoint of the Gentiles.
for the simple reason, this perpetual covenant, a lot of people don't keep the perpetual covenant because they don't believe that they're up under it, or they don't understand that they are up under it if they are part of Israel. Okay, and so we're going to look at what the scriptures say concerning this thing on this evening. So before we do that, let us do the necessary. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Let me have the men to uncover your heads. And let us turn toward the east as we do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep the commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Speaking.
Hello,
yes. Okay, I'm not looking for solar. Thank you. All right, sorry about that. Didn't know who that was calling. All right, so we won't get any more interruptions. All right, so let us give the Most High hand a couple of praise on today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. We just thank you, Father, and we lift you up and we magnify your name. We extol you, O Yah Elohim, for you are worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. So we magnify you on today, Father. We bow down and we give you praise, Father. We give you obedience. And we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Hallelujah. 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 May your name be glorified in all the earth, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for all that you have done for us this week, for keeping us in the land of the living and allowing us just one more chance to keep your commandments and to praise your holy name, Father, and to obey your voice. Hallelujah. So we just thank you, Father. We thank you, and we just say that we love you on today. We love you. We love you. We love you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. And, Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways, complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you would wake them, give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, a spirit of love for you, O love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call a Messiah, that they would hear your voice and come and obey and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. Let us go to 1 Kings chapter 8, the book of 1 Kings chapter 8, and I will personalize this as I read it for us. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. No man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whither we were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of our enemies, or in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon has built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive thy people which have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee. And give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be opened unto the servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes which I command thee this day for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 and 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way, I command you this day, to go after other Elohim, which you have not known. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land, which Yah Elohim of thy fathers giveth thee to possess all the days that you live upon the earth. The book of Exodus, chapter 20. The book of Exodus, chapter 20, starting in verse 1, verses 1 through 6. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah, thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohim before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. John chapter 14 and verse 15. The book of John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. And we shall have the blowing of the shofar as we are commanded.
This is the tongue of the children of Israel. And when you search throughout the scriptures, all the original texts were written in the language of Hebrew and describe our forefathers and the children of Israel. As it says in the Songs of Solomon, Ani Shakur, I am black. As it also says in the book of Revelation, as it describes our Lord and Savior, who we call Jesus Christ, but whose Hebrew name is Yahawashah, because he is deliverer, to help us in these last days to return back to who we are, the children of Israel. So as you prepare your spirit to partake of the holy tongue of our forefathers, open your heart, your mind, and your soul, and receive these words in the ancient tongue of our forefathers, the tongue Lashawan Kodash, the holy tongue in the language of Hebrew, Shema, which means to listen, Shalom.
Give us our debts as we give our debts. from us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever.
Let us go to the book of Exodus, chapter 31. The book of Exodus, chapter 31. And today's precept is the perpetual covenant. We've talked about covenant in the past, and we know that it is a contract. It's an agreement that you enter into. And the Most High has entered into a covenant or covenant with Israel. And so we want to look at the perpetual covenant. And so let's get our reference verse for this. Exodus chapter 31 and verse 16. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generation, for a perpetual covenant. Let's look at this word perpetual. Let me bring up my strong dictionary. And the in the strong, it is the 859-56, olam, olam, properly concealed in essence the vanishing point, generally time out of mind, past or future, in essence or practically, eternatively, adverbially, especially with a prepositional prefix, always, ancient times, anymore. Continuance, eternal, forever, lasting, more, old, lasting. So we get the gist. This is an eternal covenant. It has no end, perpetual. It is forever. Now, the reason that I'm doing this on this evening, this particular precept, because number one, when we go to the book of Matthew, and if everybody will turn in their Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 19, here. And bear with me, because I'm sort of doing this impromptu. I don't have a plan, an outline, or anything like that. This is just, you know, as the Most High puts it on my heart, but we need to deal with this. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. We're going to start in verse 16, Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, and let me get into the KJV of this. I'm within the King James Version, 1611. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now, there are pastors out here, especially a lot of them on the internet, on YouTube, have big following, and they don't keep Sabbath, okay? And the reason that they don't keep Sabbath is because of what Messiah says here, okay? So this is their rationale, and this is one of the reasons that I want to address this. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? Because there is none good but one, that is Elohim. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now, he starts to name some, and he says unto him, which? So do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, this is what Messiah is telling this young man. And so what we don't see here is the first three or four commandments. To honor the Most High, to not make any graven images, to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy, okay? We don't see that in what Messiah said. And so the young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth, what lack I yet? And Yeshua said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. So because Messiah did not mention the Sabbath here, a lot of these church ministers are saying you don't have to keep Sabbath because Messiah didn't name it as one of the ones to enter into life. Now, he also didn't mention the first four. And so they would have to, using that logic, then they would have to say that, hey, we don't have to honor the Most High. We can make images and bow down to them. We can have another Elohim before him. We don't have to keep the Sabbath. But they know the first three would be crazy, so they choose not to obey the fourth. Okay. Honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Now, the reason that I am addressing this is from the standpoint and why it's not mentioned in the New Testament is because it is not part of the first covenant. It is included with the first covenant, the covenant that he gave Israel, the Ten Commandments. And this commandment, the fourth commandment, in Exodus chapter 31, let's go back there. And we're going to start by verse 14 or 15. Now let's start in verse 12. Now if we look at this, this is talking about the temple. Okay, and the Holy of Holies and how they are to conduct business in the Holy of Holies. Okay, and it's not got anything to do, he's not talking about the Ten Instructions or any of the ordinances or the judgments that he gave Israel prior to this when he came down in Exodus chapter 19. Because see, one of the things that people don't realize is that Moses did not give the people the Ten Instructions. The Most High himself came down and gave it to Israel on the earth 6 days, telling Israel what it should do and what it shouldn't do. But he pulls out in Exodus chapter 31, and he pulls it out, and let's start in verse 12. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath you shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generation, that you know that I am Yah that does sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defiles it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever does any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. Whosoever does any work in the Sabbath, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generation, for a perpetual and eternal covenant. This is a separate covenant. This is outside of the first covenant. Even though he gave it as a commandment as part of the first covenant, he makes the Sabbath a completely separate covenant with Israel. And he says this is forever. So the Sabbath would never go away. So you don't see it a need, and he didn't see a need to address it in the New Testament, because it's the covenant that Messiah was coming to establish or to correct was a modified new covenant, the New Testament. This covenant is perpetual, so it doesn't need to be mentioned in the New Testament. It doesn't need to be mentioned as part of the new covenant. The new covenant was being made with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And later on, the Gentiles would be brought into it. Israel already knew that the Sabbath was perpetual. And so Messiah didn't need to tell this young man to keep the Sabbath. He was telling him all the things, how to treat his fellow man and his mother and his father, how we deal with human beings. That's what he wanted him to deal with. Because he knew the young man feared the Most High if he was keeping the commandments. And he knew the young man would be keeping the Sabbath. But the Sabbath is not part of the first covenant. It is a completely separate covenant unto itself. And it was already that it is perpetual. It is eternal. It is forever. So it didn't have to be dealt with. Now, why would that be important, or should that be important to the Gentiles? On last week, when we were doing the precept, as Yah has thrown away his people, cast them away, and we read in Romans chapter 11 that Yah has not cast away his people, okay? And he says something in there that I want to go and address. Go to Romans chapter 11. Well, no, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 first. Let me do it from that aspect. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Then we'll come back. Because we need to clarify some things that are in the scriptures that I think people misinterpret, or they teach them incorrectly. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 1. And this is a letter to the Ephesians, to the Gentiles, okay? And in it, we're going to learn some things about how the body of Messiah is supposed to come about in its construction, in its manifestation, and who's supposed to make up his body. So let's read this. And you, as he quickened or given life, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation. We all went through this. In times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But Elohim, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Mashiach. By grace are ye saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Yeshua HaMashiach, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Yeshua HaMashiach. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of Elohim, not of works, lest any man should boast. So he said, hey, you can't save yourself by being too good. You can't save yourself in the law, because the Most High has made it to where you were conceived in iniquity. It has made it where all men have sinned. So if we have all sinned, then we cannot bypass Messiah, because we can't cleanse our own sin. The only thing that can pay for sin is blood, the life of a thing. So he allowed us to use the animals as a temporary payment. But he says a permanent payment needs to be made, and you can't make it for yourself because your blood is tainted. So you need Messiah, okay? There's no way around it. So he said you can't boast. You can't say that you were good enough to boast for your salvation. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Yeshua HaMashiach unto good works, which Elohim has before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles, in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision. So you in times past were called Gentiles. When they came into the body of Messiah, they're not realizing that they are joining to Messiah. They are also joining to Israel. They're joining to a nation. They're being grafted in. And so, you know, what I can see of the churches, the Gentiles, in this matter, they don't really want to be grafted into Israel. They want to take Israel's place, but they don't want to be grafted into Israel. But the scriptures say clearly that the Gentiles are being grafted in to Israel through Messiah. Okay, so we're going to read that. That at the time you were without Mashiach, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Now remember, under the law, that a Gentile could join Israel. A stranger could join Israel if they agreed to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. And at that time, as far as joining Israel, they had to be circumcised. But to enter into the kingdom of the Most High, he said, no, you don't have to be circumcised. Took that requirement away. But you're still being grafted into Israel. Okay. So if you're being grafted into Israel, the master, he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the one that created the Sabbath and gave it and said that it is perpetual. This is a covenant forever. And if you are a citizen of the nation of Israel, it's a covenant between you and the Most High, saying that you are his people and he is your Elohim. And you agree to abide by his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances, his judgments forever. So we got to understand that the Most High promised Israel a new covenant. Now let's continue. Verse 12 again. That at that time you were without Mashiach, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of the promise. Salvation was unto the Jew first, and then to the Gentile. And so he's telling you right here that the Gentiles were strangers and they were aliens from the promise, without hope and without Elohim in the world. But now in Yeshua HaMashiach, you who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh or near by the blood of Mashiach. For he is our peace. Now, what is this peace? Because there was no peace, supposed to be any peace between Israel and the Gentiles. Israel was not supposed to join themselves to any other nation, even though they did it. The commandment was, it's unlawful for you to go to one of another nation. It's unlawful for you to take their sons and their daughters to be your wives and your sons. That was a battle. That what made us strangers. That made us put us in conflict one with another. Because the Most High says, I don't want you joining yourselves to them, because you're going to end up serving their Elohim, their God. So don't do it. That was the problem. Messiah became our peace because he took away that ordinance. He took away that commandment. So we're going to read that. Who has made both? Now, he is our peace. Peace. Who has made both? One. Both Jew and Gentile. One. And has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, the Jew and the Gentile. I'm going to take that wall down. I'm going to take away the commandment that said, don't go unto one of another nation. Don't go into their houses. Don't eat with them. Don't take their sons and their daughters as husbands and wives. Don't do it. That was a law. And it was meant to separate Israel from the world. But Israel always broke that law. But when we come into Messiah's time, and we're going to go get this from the book of Acts, you're going to see that Peter is still believing this and still upholding this, okay, this law. And the Most High has to deal with him concerning this thing, okay? Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the hatred, even the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances. Now, people will read this on its own and say that, see, Messiah abolished the law and the commandments contained in the ordinances. And they say that he abolished all of the law. Not what this is saying. He abolished the law of the commandments in the ordinances that governed how the Jew and the Gentile were supposed to interact. That we were not supposed to have anything to do with the Gentiles. He took that away. That's what he abolished. He did not abolish all of the law. But he abolished this. For to make in himself of the two, Jew and Gentile, one new man. So making peace. Now, the Gentiles still don't really want to have anything to do with the Jews or anybody that claims to be one. They won't necessarily come against those that are in Israel, but if you say you are a Hebrew Israelite, it's on, because they don't want to recognize who the people of the book are. But nevertheless, this is what's going on here. And that he might reconcile both Jew and Gentile unto Elohim in one body by the cross, having slain the hatred thereby. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, the Gentiles, to them that were nigh, his brothers, his fellow Hebrews, his fellow Israelites. For through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. So this is how Messiah's body, his body works. And this is how he is building his kingdom. Through Jew and Gentile, with him being the head, by one spirit. This is what these verses are saying in Ephesians. Now, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 10. The book of Acts, chapter 10. And we're going to get verse 28. But I'm going to read the whole thing down through 28 because I don't want anybody to miss what's going on here. And I'm sure we've read this many times, but in light of what we're talking about on this evening, I'm going to read this, okay? Because this is when the Gentiles, this is when the kingdom is open to the Gentile nation. In Acts chapter 8, where we see the church being scattered to Judea and in Samaria, the people that they offered salvation to in Samaria were not the Assyrians or the transplants that the king of Assyria put there when he took the northern kingdom away. These are the Hebrews that escaped from the king of Assyria. They went back into their city, and they were there until Messiah came, which was over 400 or 500 years. So they were still in the northern kingdom, and they were still practicing witchcraft and worshiping other gods and worshiping those bulls that Jeroboam put on those two altars. They were still doing all that stuff, okay? So in Acts chapter 10 is when the kingdom becomes available to the Gentile nation. Okay, so let's read this. And there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, one that feared Elohim with all his house, who gave much alms to the people and prayed to Elohim always. So this is a Gentile who has converted. Sitting in the Most High, he's keeping his commandments, but he's a man of another nation, and he's serving in the Roman army. He's a centurion. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of Elohim coming to him, saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked up, he was afraid. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? What is it, Master? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before Elohim. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Now you would think that the angel could just tell him. But this is how the Most High works. He gave us a job to do, and he expects us to do it. But in this case, he needs to intervene in a way. Because, number one, we're going to read it. Salvation is to the Jews. Trying to go to no Gentiles. Messiah says, go not unto the Gentiles, but go instead into the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So to get Peter to go to the Gentiles, there's got to be some divine intervention. Okay? And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, another devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. So this was a devout man, and he expected the same character out of those that served him. So he sends another soldier, devout soldier, to go get Peter. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, or the next day, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell in a trance. So he's up on the rooftop. They had flat roofs in those days. It wasn't like, slanted roofs like we got. You could put a lawn chair up there and sit and watch. It's one of those things like a balcony, but the whole roof was like that. And he fell into a trance, and he saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descend unto him, and it had been as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. Now, that's not saying it right here, but all these beasts that it's not all the beasts of the earth. It's all manner of beasts, all manner of unclean beasts. Even the creeping things, we're told, hey, there's only a couple of creeping things that we can deal with, locusts. We can eat those. But everything else was an abomination. So let's see if that's the case. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill, and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord or Master, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. But we know that what he's looking at is not clean food. These animals clean, okay? And the voice spake unto him again, the second time, what Elohim has planned, that call not thou common. Now, if you stop here, you might think that the Most High is saying, hey, you can eat anything you want to eat. What I have declared to be clean, don't you declare to be unclean. But he's not talking, he's not showing him this vision for the animal's sake. But he's showing him a lesson. I'm the one that declares what is clean and what's unclean. I have told you that the Gentiles are unclean to you. So he's showing him in a vision by these animals. Get down and go kill one of those unclean animals and eat it. Why? Because I said you could. Why? Because I'm the one that declared it to be clean. Don't you argue with me about it. I'm the one that declares what is clean and what is unclean. So if you stop right there, you might think that he's talking about these animals. This was done thrice, three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted, he was already told three times. He still got doubt. Why he doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean. Why the Most High telling me to get down and go kill some unclean animal and eat it? But the Most High already told him, what I declare to be clean, don't you declare to be unclean. But why are you telling me that? Why are you telling me it's okay to go eat these things now? He still got doubt. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what the vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the Most High sends the answer to his question. The men which were sent from Cornelius for the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. Now, if Peter hadn't been shown this vision and is not being getting ready to be told what he's about to tell them, he wouldn't have came down and talked to them. We don't have nothing to do with you Gentiles. And this is what he believes, and this is what he follows. And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men speak thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing. You got doubts as to what I'm talking about? This is what I'm talking about right here. Your house. Go with them, doubting nothing. For I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? Why are you here? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth Elohim, and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from Elohim by a holy angel to send for thee unto his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in. Now, if he wasn't supposed to go to one of another nation, you know he wouldn't have invited one of another nation into his house. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Now, when you read Acts chapter 11, you'll learn that there were six other brothers that were from Joppa that went with them. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and he had called together his kinsmen and near friends. So he called together his family and his friends, And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up. I myself also am a man." And he talked with him, and he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, "You know how that is an unlawful thing. This is what Messiah took away. This is that partition that Messiah took away. It is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But Elohim has showed me that I should not call any man, not animal, any man common or unclean." So he wasn't talking about the animals per se. He was using the animals in an allegoric way as an example to Peter that he's the one that determines what's clean and unclean, what's common and unclean. So Peter realized when these men show up at his door, "Oh, you're talking about these Gentiles." So he says, "You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. But Elohim has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. This is that middle wall of partition that Messiah took away so that he might make out of the Jew and out of the Gentiles one new man, he being the head of it, of that one new man." Now, why is this important? Let's go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Start in verse 1. Again, because we want context. Because when the Gentiles are saying they shouldn't keep Sabbath, they don't have to keep Sabbath. And we already see that the Sabbath is perpetual to the nation of Israel. What the Gentile nations have to realize is that they are being grafted. When they believe in Messiah, and Messiah is the king of Israel, when they accept him as their king, they are asking for citizenship in Israel as their king. He's going to be king over all the earth, but they are being grafted into this family, into the saints. That's what Ephesians said. They were afar off, having no connection to the commonwealth of Israel. Messiah, they are made to be joined to Israel. And they're supposed to keep the same statutes, the same laws, the same commandments, the same ordinances, the same judgments as Israel. You don't join a country and then say you're not bound by the laws of that country. You're not bound by the statutes and the ordinances of that country. I mean, nobody does that except the church. Can't go and say, "Oh, you know, I want to join Russia, but I don't want to keep the laws of Russia. Oh, no, I want to be a Moroccan citizen, but I don't want to keep the laws of Morocco. I want to become a French citizen, but no, I don't want to have any allegiance to the French government or keep their laws." Well, you don't want to be a part of us then. That's what any nation would tell you. You don't have any allegiance to us. You have no loyalty to us. You don't want to keep our laws. You don't want to abide by our laws. You don't want to abide by our constitution, our manifesto. This is what the church is saying. And it's just flat out stupid. You're going to be apart but separate. No. One. With Israel, with Messiah as the head. That is what he's doing. That is how he is building his body. And if the Gentile is going to come in, they have to recognize that. Because if not, they will boast against the natural branch of Israel. And the Most High says, if you do that, I will cut you off. I will break you off like I broke the natural branches off. So let's read this. Romans chapter 11, starting in verse 1. I say then, has Elohim cast away his people? Elohim forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Now this is Paul saying, hey, if Elohim has cast away his people, he would have cast me away. He would have cast away the apostles. He wouldn't even have made disciples, and Messiah wouldn't have come to the Israelites. Elohim did not cast away his people. Elohim has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Know you not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to Elohim against Israel, saying, Yah, they have killed thy prophets and dug down thine altars, and I alone am, they seek my life. And if you want to read that story, go read about Elijah or Elias. I always get them confused, their names. Well, read about him and Jezebel and the priest of Baal, of Baal. Okay. And when Israel was following Baal, and the prophet thought that they had all taken the Most High and killed all his prophets except for him. Okay. Go read that story. But what said the answer of Elohim unto him? I reserve to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed down the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, then at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeks for. But the election have obtained it. Those that the Most High elected, he chose. Because it's he that's doing the saving. And that brings to mind that verse. Many are called, but few are chosen. It is the Most High doing the calling. It is the Most High doing the choosing. Because I always have an elect. I always have a remnant. So Elias, there are 7,000 men that you don't know about that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. They are faithful to me. And even so at this time that this is being written. Okay. What then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeks for, but the election have obtained. And the rest of Israel was blinded. The Most High didn't want them, the rest of Israel, to see. That's why when we do our tenet of discipleship, Messiah said he spoke to the masses in parables because it was not given to the masses to understand what was going on. He didn't want them to understand so that they could be judged. That hearing, they might hear and not understand what was being said. So he spoke to them in parables. He says, I got to give you the understanding. And it's the Most High that has to give the understanding. So we gotta recognize that as well in our days, in our times today. Because it's still the same way. The gospel and understanding the gospel and what's going on in the scriptures is not given to the mass to understand it. That's why you got all these different 30,000 different denominations in Christianity alone. Why you got all these different camps in the Hebrew Israelite camps. Well, you got all these other religions in the world, but just in Christianity and the gospel, or even in the Quran, all the Abrahamic faiths, it's not given to everyone to understand. You can read this word. That don't necessarily mean you're going to come to understanding. Don't mean that you're going to know what's going on. Messiah said it's not given to them. Okay. According as it is written, Elohim has given them a spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. So that's not just Israel. That's really to mankind in general, those that don't really accept the gospel. But he allows some in Israel to hear it, and he allows some among the Gentiles to hear it and to understand. But to most people, it's not given to them to understand this. So they have eyes and that they should not see and ears that they should not hear. Least they understand and should be saved. So understand this is not something for the mass, all right? And David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense, a repayment unto them, a repayment for how they did the Most High, a repayment for being disobedient to the Most High. This is what David is saying. Let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a repayment unto them. Let their eyes be darkened. Don't let them see. That they may not see and bow down their back always. Bow down their back in servitude for the prayer David made. But he's speaking the mind of the Most High. Because David was a prophet also. And he's speaking for the Most High. I say then, have they stumbled that they, Israel, to fall. Elohim forbid. But rather that their fall, that their fall salvation, let me read that again. But rather through their fall salvation has come unto the Gentiles. So Israel was caused to fall and allowed to fall and made to fall by the Most High that he might offer salvation to the Gentiles, because this was only for Israel at first, to be his priesthood. His inheritance. And the Most High say, I deserve better than this. But he already knew that from the beginning. Told Moses, this people not going to do this. Told Moses that from the beginning. They're not going to obey. He already knew. And it was already in his plan to bring the Gentiles in. But first, he had to save his own people. The people he chose as an inheritance, his inheritance in the earth. Verse 11 again. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? They, Israel, fall. Elohim forbid. For rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles to provoke Israel to jealousy. To provoke Israel to jealousy. Because Israel went a-whoring after other Elohim, other gods. Oh, you like to flirt with other gods? I'm going to flirt with other people, other women. That's what the Most High is doing. He did this to make Israel jealous. I chose you. I said I would make you the head and not the tail. I would bless you in your coming in and going out. I would make you above all nations. Obey my voice. If you do what I say, do. Israel went after the nations and their gods. And so the Most High says, okay, I'm going to make you jealous. You made me jealous. Now I'm going to make you jealous. That's why it says, the Lord your God, the Lord your Elohim is a jealous Elohim. You should not have any other gods before him. He's a jealous Elohim. So you made me jealous, now I'm going to make you jealous. That's why the Hebrew Israelite has a hard time dealing with the church. You chose another woman over us. He equates the church to a woman. He equated Israel to a woman. So I chose you. You went and cheated. So now I'm going to choose another woman. To make you jealous. But you don't make somebody jealous unless you still care about them. You mad at them. And you want them to feel what you feel. You want them to feel the hurt that you feel. The shame that you feel. So I'm going to make you jealous. I'm going to use these Gentiles to make you jealous. Some of our mouths didn't say that. It is right here in front of us to provoke them to jealousy. Why? I just gave you the why of it. Now, if the fall of Israel be the riches of the world and the dominion be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more shall Israel's fullness, when Israel is doing what I chose them to do, when they are doing what I commanded them to do, what I raised them up to do, to be my priesthood, a nation of priests, when they are doing what I want them to do, how much more do you think the fullness of this earth and of you Gentiles will be? If you think you got rich off of my people because of their captivity, you really don't know how much more better you would be off if they were doing what they were supposed to do. Not only would they be rich, but you would be even richer and you would be even fuller. But you think you're doing something by keeping my people in captivity. You think you're doing something and that we deserve it, that his people deserve it because they offended their Elohim. So you think that you have a right to do what you're doing, but you don't. Because it's through us and by us, by what we did, that you are the access to the kingdom of Elohim is offered to the Gentiles. Say, then have they stumbled? They, Israel, stumbled that they should fall. He's asking a question. Elohim forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, or to provoke them, Israel, to jealousy. Now, if the fall of Israel be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of Israel be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more Israel's fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles. Inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. But he's trying to help the Gentiles to what's going on and what's happening to Israel. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them, Israel, which are of my flesh, and might save some of them. He didn't say save all of Israel, because the Most High is not going to save all of Israel, because you don't do to the Most High what Israel did to the Most High, and it don't do it. So we were in a position of privilege. We would have the favor of the Most High in everything. He said, I will make you the head in everything, and rather than the tail. But if you don't do what I say to do, I'm going to make you the tail. You're going to see the curses, and you're not going to see the blessings. But that's not the purpose of this lesson. For if the casting away of Israel be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of Israel be? But life from the dead? Because you can't receive life from the dead if you reject Israel, because Messiah is a Hebrew Israelite. So how are you going to accept King and then reject Israel as a people? And so the world wants to hold on to the Archonazi Jew. But the scriptures don't line up with the Archonazi Jew. And I'm not talking against the Archonazi Jew, because Yah blessed them. They kept our knowledge. And when Yah was ready to wake us up, he woke us up for them to give it back to us, if we have understanding. For if the first fruit be holy, and we were the first fruit, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. If some of the branches be broken off, that's frail. And thou being a wild olive tree, Gentile, thou Gentile being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them. So the Gentile got to understand that they are being grafted in to Israel via Messiah. Oh, no, we don't want to have nothing to do with them Jews. They crucified the Messiah. You speak out of ignorance. This was done so that you may enter into the kingdom, so that you could receive eternal life. So you are grafted. That means to be something is cut off, and where it was cut off at, you are grafted in at that point. point. You are attached to it. And then that wound, that cut where you are grafted in, it starts to mend and you become part of the whole. That's why in Ephesians he said, I'm going to make one new man out of the Jew and the Gentile, with Messiah being the head. I'm grafting you in among them, and with them partakers of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Boast not against the branches. So he's telling the Gentiles, don't boast against Israel. Don't talk puffed up against them. Don't talk against them, period. Boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. So Christ is the root. Thou will say then, the branches, now this is what the Gentiles will say. Gentiles will say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. That's not what this verbatim right out of the scripture, what they're supposed to say. Will because of the well, because of unbelief, they, Israel, were broken off. And thou, Gentiles, standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. What should you be fearing? For if Elohim spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not you. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of Elohim on Israel, which fell, severity. That's a severe fall. You get cut off, hey, I'm not getting rid of all of y'all, but I'm getting rid of most of y'all. And y'all not going to have this gospel to give to the world. I'm going to give it to another nation bringing forth fruit. I'm going to give it to the Gentile nations and the church. And they're going to give the gospel. That's severe. You're supposed to be the head. Now you're the tail. That's severe. But toward you Gentiles, goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. The Gentile churches aren't following in the goodness of Messiah. They are boasting against the natural branches. They are upholding even the false branches, still enslaving and persecuting the natural branches, because they believe they have a right to. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 31, I believe. I believe that's where that's at. Jeremiah chapter 31, I believe it's verse 50. In there. Hold on. Hold on. I'll find the verse. I've lost it. I thought that was in my thought I had remembered that verse. I'll find it. But he tells you in Jeremiah, might even be chapter 30, that the Gentiles did this because they thought they had a right, because Israel had offended the Most High. They think they have a right to treat us the way that they're treating us. But they don't have a right to do that. Okay. Let's continue. Go back to Romans chapter 11. I'll remember that verse in a minute. It'll come back to me. Romans chapter 11, and we were down, I made my point that I wanted to make from Romans chapter 11, as it pertains to this precept. Why is it important that the church, the Gentile churches, recognize that in Exodus chapter 31, the Most High said that the Sabbath is a perpetual covenant. It's forever. It's outside of the first covenant. It's even outside of the new covenant that he made with the house of Israel. Let's go here. Let's do that. Go to Jeremiah 31. We'll do it from that standpoint. Jeremiah 31. And we're not going to read all of this. But I want us to understand, because we're bringing it back to the Gentiles, all right? And let's go to verse 27. Jeremiah 31, starting verse 27. This is the promise, okay? Behold, the day cometh, saith Yah, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass, like as I have watched over them, to pluck up and to break down, to pull them up and to break them down, and to throw down and to destroy, and to afflict. So will I watch over them to build and to plant, and saith Yah. In those days there shall say no more, the fathers have eaten the sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity, and every man that eateth the sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days cometh, saith Yah, that I will make a new covenant with who? The house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith Yah. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel, and I combine the house of Judah and the house of Israel back into one nation. After those days, says Yah, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. This is the new covenant. Go to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Start at verse 7. Hebrews chapter 8, starting at verse 7. For if the first covenant had been faultless, what was wrong with the first covenant? Then should be no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault in them, Israel, he said, behold, the days coming, said Yah, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith Yah. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yah. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them an Elohim, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall teach no man, every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know Yah, for they shall all know me from the least to the greatest. For I shall be merciful unto their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. In that he said, a new covenant, he has made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxed old is ready to vanish away. The new covenant up under the Messiah is what it's talking about. And under the new covenant under Messiah, he's also grafting in the Gentiles into the body of the saints. Because Israel is known as the saints, not what the Catholic Church says a saint is. So we got to understand that. Now, the reason that you don't find the Sabbath being addressed in the New Testament, because the Sabbath is not part of the New Testament. The Sabbath is a perpetual covenant unto itself. It was included in the first covenant. It is included in the second covenant. If the Sabbath is included, then, and it's perpetual, it's forever, we do to be able to find it in the future. Go to Isaiah 66, the book of Isaiah chapter 66. And let me find the verse that I want. As I said, I'm doing this off the top of my head, but down around verse 20. So to start in verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, the new heavens and the new earth haven't happened yet, shall remain before me, says God, so shall your seed and your name remain, talking about Israel. And it shall come to pass from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another. So all kingdoms, the Sabbath is in the Father's kingdom. Anybody that is part of that kingdom will have to observe Sabbath because it's perpetual. It is eternal. It celebrates the Most High's creation. So I want you to always remember that. I'm the creator. In 6 days, I created the heavens and the earth and all that therein is. And on the seventh day, I rested. It is a commandment. It is a contract. It is a covenant that you remember that forever and that you honor me in it and rest like I rest in my Sabbath. And it doesn't say this is Yah and make them specifically to Israel, because he said, hey, this is a covenant that I'm making with you, Israel. But it's his Sabbath. So he says, from one new moon to another, from one beginning of month to another beginning of month, from that one Sabbath to another Sabbath, you're going to come and worship before him. But you don't want to keep the Sabbath now, and you want to make whatever day you want to be the Sabbath. And the Most High says, I told you what day was the Sabbath. I told you how to honor me in it. I told you what you could do and what you can't do. But the Gentiles want to boast against the natural branches. No, we don't have to keep that. Y'all had to keep that. We don't have to keep that. And you don't want to be part of Messiah kingdom. And you have begged to be broken off through disobedience, just like Israel was broken off for disobedience. There's so much of the church that he used to make Israel jealous, that wild olive tree, that wild woman, that are not going to make it in. Because they refuse, they're doing the same thing Israel did and don't realize. So the reason why the Sabbath is not mentioned in the New Testament as far as one of the commandments was named by Messiah, good. You are going to worship the Elohim of the Bible. You're not going to make any graven images of yourself. You're not going to make any graven images of anything in the heavens or in the earth or under the earth or in the water, and bow yourself down to him and call him God, not even the statue of a Mary and Jesus. He said it is a sin to do so. You're not going to have any of the Elohim before him. That's a given. Messiah didn't name those off either. And for those pastors that are teaching, well, Messiah didn't name it off when he told the rich young man what he had to do to enter into life. He didn't name the Sabbath, so we don't have to keep it. We didn't tell you to have no other God before him either. He didn't tell you that you could make images either, not to make images either, and bow yourself down to them. But the church accepts those commandments. So we know that this is a spirit of confusion. And it is a false dirt. It's a false dirt. And this woman is pouring herself out with a false doctrine, a false gospel, and sleeping with any and everything that will sleep with her and believe with Ain and accept her. I got the goods. I give you my goods. You can have all of my goods. You can just come and get these goodies. Because she knows that it's bringing damnation on them. She don't care. As long as I can replace Israel. But the scripture says that you're being grafted into Israel. For those that are listening and that want to know, the scriptures are saying that you're being grafted in, not as a separate entity. The scripture says that Messiah is making a new man, a new person out of the Jew and the Gentiles, both. And if you want to serve and worship the Most High and keep the commandments, then you have to honor his Sabbath, because it is perpetual. It is forever. His Sabbaths are forever. But, you know, we come in and we want to keep the pagan deities. We want to keep the pagan deities that go along with Christmas and Easter, Halloween, Thanksgiving, the 4th of July, any other holiday, Valentine's Day. All these are associated with deities. That's why they call them holy days. They are associated with some deity that somebody used to worship somewhere. And then here comes the Christian, want to tie the Most High to it. The Most High said, don't do it. I gave you my feast days. I gave you my holidays, my holy days. And I chose you to honor my Sabbath perpetually, forever. This is why it's important that the Gentile knows. This is why they should understand that it's not covered in the New Testament. And when it says, let no man judge you of feast days or Sabbath days or new moon, someone when they are guilty, if they break a law, that's when they get judged. He's not saying, tell somebody, you can't judge me. I keep whatever day I want to keep. That's not what he's saying. When you come into Messiah, you have agreed to keep his commandments. Let no man judge you for breaking them. But you're not supposed to break them. But because we read the scriptures with a carnal mind, from that natural man, oh, he's saying, hey, don't let no man judge you if you don't do those things. Don't let no man tell you you got to keep these things. That's the spirit of that whore talking. That's what that is. And mankind eats it up. But I wanted to do this on this evening. And you should share it with your friends, with your family, if they are going to church on days. And they don't understand that them keeping and going to church on Sunday, it's not a problem that they go to church on Sunday. And you need to let them know, that's not a problem. The early church gathered on Sunday too. But they kept Sabbath. That's where the sin is. Not keeping the Sabbath. That's the sin. And this is the day that the Most High says, if you love me, you will surely remember this one. Remember the Sabbath day. It's the only one that says remember. Remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Remember this. I'm telling you, you ain't got to do it. You ain't got to obey it. Don't apply to you. It don't apply to you if you don't belong to the Most High. If you belong to the Most High, if you've been grafted in, it applies to you. So I just wanted to let, you know, my brothers and sisters know, those that are seeking truth and and that want to serve the Most High with their whole heart. They want to serve Him in the spirit, in spirit and in truth. If you can hear this and if you can understand it, it was given to you to hear it and understand it. Now do it. Stand it now. You're accountable. And whoever you can make to understand it, they become accountable. They can't stay where they're at and keep doing what they're doing, because then they're just keeping coals, hot coals of fire and judgment on their head, because they are in blatant disobedience. I think tomorrow morning I'm going to do a precept on blasphemy. Because I read something in the scriptures, and I don't think that people understand that word blasphemy, that word reproach. It says, when you disobey the Most High, you reproach Him. You shame Him. But another word for that is blasphemy. When you willfully disobey Him, it's blasphemy. And so we need to know and understand that. And maybe He'll allow me to do that in the morning. Maybe He's giving it completely to me, but it's in my heart right now to do that, so that we understand that we can't just willfully sin or we blaspheme Him. And you say you blaspheme the Most High, you know, most people take that seriously. Oh, no, I don't do that. Maybe you don't know you do that. But it's clearly written in the scriptures. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what we do. So He says, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven of men. So what is that, the blasphemy that shall be forgiven? It is, your sins are supposed to be ignorant sins. You didn't know you were sinning until you did. Then when you did know you were sinning, you're supposed to repent of it and turn away from it. You blaspheme the Most High when you know that it's a sin, and you go ahead and do it anyway. That's what He says is blasphemy. So we may get into that tomorrow morning. But understand on today, for the Gentiles that are listening around the world, and those that are in the U.S., understand that you are being grafted in to Israel. You are being grafted into the places that the natural branches were broken off. And the natural branches, if they can come to faith, can be grafted back in again. They're not cut off forever. That's why it says, God, Elohim has not cast away His people. Let's go get that so I don't leave that undone. Let's go back to Romans chapter 11. And then we will call it a day. Romans chapter 11. Let me see. Where did you say that at? Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 11, verse 23. And we just stopped right short of this. So let's go to 22. We read that, and then we'll read 23. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of Elohim on Israel, which fell, severity. We talked about that severity. But toward you Gentiles, goodness, if thou continue in His goodness. Otherwise, thou Gentiles also shall be cut off. Verse 23. And they Israel also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. Remember, He broke Israel off. He didn't cast Israel away, though. Shall be grafted in, for Elohim is able to graft Israel in again. So Israel is not cut off forever. Israel is not cast away. The Gentiles are not replacing Israel. Israel, for those that can come out of unbelief through disobedience, showing that, hey, we obey all that Yah has said we will do. And they do it out of faith, are able to be grafted back in again, except Messiah. Keep his statutes, laws, and commandments. Obey his voice. All the things that Israel got broken off for. Then Yah says Israel can be grafted back in again. It's got to come out of unbelief. With that being said, let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you on this evening, Father. You who reveal or hide the matter. Father, open the eyes and the ears of all that you do, that they should be able to hear your voice and hear this message. And that if they are not keeping Sabbath, that they would hear your voice and obey. And not only keep Sabbath, but learn of your commandments, your statutes, your laws, and your ordinances. Know where they apply and where they don't apply. Know that you did not get rid of all of your commandments, your laws, and your statutes, and your ordinances in the new covenant. Tore down some. You modified some. But you left the rest intact. And that we, your people, members of your kingdom, citizens of your kingdom, are supposed to keep your commandments, your laws, your ordinances. If we say that we are citizens of your kingdom, because Messiah said the kingdom of Elohim is at hand. That was the gospel. The kingdom is here. It's supposed to be in each and every one of us. And we are supposed to be living as citizens of your kingdom, obeying your laws, not being outlaws, not being aliens, illegal aliens. Saying that we are citizens of the kingdom, but we don't keep your laws. We're not faithful to your kingdom. We're not loyal to it. We prefer the kingdoms that we're in the world to yours. We are still in confusion, Father. If there be any that be in that state, Father, remove the cloudiness from their eyes. Unblock their ears. Let them hear, Father, that they might understand and be saved. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I pray. Amen and amen. All right, so if Yah says the same in the morning, I will be doing blasphemy. If he says otherwise, we're going to be obedient and do what he says to do. But that's where my mind and my heart is at right now. But Yah may say different. We will see. So I pray that Yah keeps you. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments.
Praise which dwelleth in Zion. Our halo clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a button. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishmaka, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, I live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, I live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect.
Shalom, Sister Mary. Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath and peace and blessings. All right. Shalom to those listening online. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.